Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowetheatre.com.
Sightless cinema, where the audience wears blindfolds. Don't Dress for Dinner in Banagher, comedy and community as Banagher Theatre Group take to the stage. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103. And indeed, you're very welcome to the show. It's Claire O'Brien here with you tonight, and indeed every Thursday night between 7 and 8 o'clock, where we bring you the very best of what is happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Now, tonight we'll be talking about a play that happens in the dark. In the Dark is actually its title, and I suppose to call it a play is to undersell it quite significantly, actually. It's a unique theatrical experience with a cast of blind and visually impaired performers. We'll be hearing also about some scandalous drama in Banagher as Brendan Dolan lets us in on some of the secrets, but no spoilers, behind their play Don't Dress for Dinner, which opens tonight at St. Rhina's Hall. We will start tonight with some arts news and the story, which I hope we'll hear some more about in the next little while, which is that the Life Festival will not take place at Belvedere House and Gardens outside Mullingar this year. And that follows hot on the heels of the announcement that Body and Soul is taking a break, and which I suppose is fair to say is a disappointment for Westmeath music fans and for the many thousands of people outside of Westmeath who have grown used to travelling to the Lake County for some live music and festivals. The news about the Life Festival happened, I think, on the same day that the people behind Electric Picnic applied for their licence in Port Laois, and just a few days after the Forest Fest in Emo announced more of their headline acts for their July weekend. So I think in terms of live music this summer, we're in a bit of a watch this space kind of a space. At the moment, however, stages, different kinds of stages, are heaving and creaking across the Midlands with musicals. You're in Town continues at the Dean Crowe Theatre in Athlone. And next week, Birth Stage Guild opens the Adams Family at Birth Theatre, which is going to be a lot of fun. Rosemount Theatre Group are in Tour Ord with Tommy Maron's Nobody's Talking to Me. That starts next week on Wednesday the 13th and runs until Saturday the 16th. Tommy Maron's new play, Matches and Old Flames, has two nights at the Esker Arts Centre in Tullamore, tomorrow night and Saturday. But it is sold out, which is tough for audience, but great news for theatre in the Midlands and a great sign of where the arts are at. And lovely to see the Esker Arts Centre selling out again. Athlone Little Theatre are also busy and will soon be staging their production of Art by Yasmina Reza. And if you know that name, it's because she is the woman behind the film Carnage, or originally the play The God of Carnage, which is has worked its way around the drama circuit in the Midlands over the years. Art is a three-hander with irony, humour and more. It runs from the 9th, which is Saturday, to the 16th of March, with a matinee this Sunday. The Lewin Gallery's exhibition, Make Sure to Leave a Trace, is still open, and so is Birth Theatre's exhibition of work by Geraldine Wheeler. So lots to see and lots to do in the next little while. And if you want to get in touch with us here on the programme because you're involved in something that's happening over the next while in the Midlands, drop me a line. Encore at midlands103.com will find me directly. Please do get in touch. Now, if you were staying in last weekend, you may have seen Tullamore's Tolu Mackay on The Late Late Show with her new song, Body and Mind and Body.
Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowetheatre.com.
And you're very welcome back to Encore. And still to come, I'll be talking to Brendan Dolan about Don't Dress for Dinner, which is Banagher Theatre Group's play for 2024. It sounds like an absolute hoot. It kicks off tonight if you're in the area, but it runs all weekend. Now, that sound, that little piece of audio that you just heard there at the top of the programme comes from In the Dark. It's an immersive surround sound experience where the audience wear blindfolds and all of the sound effects are created live by the blind performers. One of them, Bernie Kelly, you heard her there in that clip. We'll be chatting to her shortly on the programme. But in the meantime, I will be chatting now on the line to Ciarán Taylor, who is a theatre maker and who established sightless cinema in 2015. Ciarán, you're very welcome to the programme. Bring us back maybe, first of all, to 2015 and the beginnings of sightless cinema.
It started as a commission for Dunleary Rathdown County Council under Percent for Arts. They were looking for a disability arts project, and there were a number of arts of disability organisations, including the NCBI at the time, which is now Vision Ireland. And artists were invited to meet them and come up with a proposal. And I just happened to meet a sound designer and composer who I knew at this meeting, and Rachel Lee Crean was her name. And I'd done some radio drama in college, but never actually made any afterwards. And I came up with the idea of, you know, that radio drama would be great to do with blind people. Joined together with Rachel. And at that stage, we didn't even have the name. We started working with people and figured it all out and came up with the name Sightless Cinema. And I suppose at the core of it was the idea of bringing people together to listen, so that it's not just, you know, traditional radio drama, which is broadcast or you listen to on your own, but it's for people listening together, and also using the cinema systems to create a surround sound, so that the audience is sort of immersed in the sound. And when there's no picture on the screen, which we don't have, it means that you can place the action anywhere. So the audience feel they're really in the middle of the action. And I suppose for In the Dark, the idea is making that sort of digital recording process, making it all analog. So it's all live show, and all the sound effects are created live. But the audience are placed in the middle, and the actors are on the outside. There'd be voices coming from either side of the room, and so the audience feel like they're in the middle of the action. But also there are sounds coming from all around the room, and we give blindfolds to the audience as well, so they are sort of in the dark, and they're surprised by sounds coming in different directions. So everybody finds it a really immersive sort of experience. So that it's something that we originally started doing in theatres and are in cinemas, and then in theatres and with recordings. And we always had a small live show at the end of those sightless cinema events. And people liked them so much that we decided to create this all live show. And that's where the In the Dark comes from. So that's sort of a history. It's nearly 10 years now. We're coming up to our 10th anniversary, actually, of sightless cinema since we've been doing it. So it's been evolving over time. And this is our first truly national tour. You know, we're going around the country. We're going over to Wexford and Galway as well on this tour.
I get the impression, listening to you talk about it, that it is much more, it has become much more for you than, you know, a kind of a once-off commission thing that maybe, you know, in the cycle of trying to get work that you might have signed up for, it has become a much bigger thing, maybe.
Yes, little did I know that I'd still be doing it 10 years later. But really, just the demand has been there each time we do a project. You know, there are new people who want to get involved, and people who have been involved have wanted to continue. And I suppose that's the history of the group that's going on tour with In the Dark. Well, most of those people who are in the show have been involved for 6 or 7 years. And so, you know, it's just responding to that demand. And we've set up new groups recently in the past 2 years in Meath and in Leash, obviously. There's a sightless cinema group based in the Dunamaze Arts Centre, and they did a first production last year, which was a really big production with the three groups coming together, and we had 25 blind people on stage performing a live piece as part of that. But also we had the surround sound fully produced, productions from each of the groups. So we had a great evening in the Dunamaze back in November, and that toured as well to Meath and to the Civic Theatre in Talla. So and this is sort of a follow-on tour, and in a way we're trying to, I suppose, spread the word about this type of collaborative and participatory sort of art, where people with disabilities can actually contribute something very positive, and to create something in their communities for audiences and working with professional artists to make it all happen. And I think there's a lot of interest now in this, and because it's, you know, it's really worked so well wherever we've done it.
Yeah.
And so we're delighted to bring the show out again. It was originally done in 2022, where we had two sort of sellout runs there, and people said, oh, you have to bring this out again. So here we go. But it's a big challenge because there's a cast of 12,
yeah,
as well as a musician. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going on tour with, 12 people with sight loss. You know, there's obstacles to be overcome, but that's part
sure.
of it as well, proving it can be done, you know.
Indeed. Well, I'm going to kick you off the line now, Ciarán. I'm going to have a chat with Bernie Kenny, who sounds like the most extraordinary bundle of joy and happiness as she's on a tandem in Florida. So thanks for taking the call, and best of luck then next Thursday night, this night week, the 14th in the Dunamace with In the Dark. Bernie, I've just listened to the clip there of you, Bernie in Florida. Tell me a little bit about that story.
To meet a man called Eamon Duffy, because I was in and out of the council all the time. And he asked me what I like to do. I like cycling. And I said, well, I said, the last time I cycled, I said, was the age of 4. But I said, I loved it up to then, or to the age of 8, sorry. And he said, would you like to cycle on the back of a tandem? So I never tried. So he gave me the opportunity to try it out. I loved it. So we raised $5,000 to go to Florida to pay for our bed and board and all that, and money for the NCBI. And that's how that came about.
It sounds like it was a whole lot of fun.
Oh, it was, yes. Oh, yes, you meet lovely people on the way in.
And tell me then how you got involved with Sightless Cinema. How did that happen for you?
Well, I got a phone call from a friend. I was on holidays down the country with my mum at the time, and I got a phone call from a friend, and she said, would you like to do that? And I says, yeah. She says, okay, if I give Ciarán your number. And I says, yeah. But I said, tell him I'm on holidays. So an hour after her phone call, I got his phone call.
He so, wasn't hanging around.
He wasn't. So I'm with Ciarán since 2018.
Okay. And what's that journey been like for you, Bernie?
Well, it's given me confidence in speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's given me confidence in general as well. So, like, I had confidence with guide dogs and all that. But it's a different sort of confidence. You know, putting on a show in front of people, you know, they can see you when they're coming in, but then they're blindfolded.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just that, you know, you've got to think, you've got to make your voice as sharp and clear as anything so they can pick up the story.
Yeah. So not only are you performing the part, which is very much yourself in some ways, but you're also creating all of the sound effects. And I am fascinated to know how tightly you and the rest of the cast work, that you can, you know, that you can manage all of those cues. How does that work for you?
Well, each person, like, because I'm one of the main stories, you know, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, you've got 7 others on sound effects.
Uh-huh.
So like one person on them sound effects, like there's one other girl, particularly my friend, she's my mother in part of it.
Okay.
And then she's somebody else's wife in another one.
Uh-huh.
But she deals with she has 3 or 4 sound effects on front of her. So she knows as soon as I say a certain word, she knows when to come in with that sound effect.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been performing a variety of different shows with Ciarán since 2018. What's been the reaction of audiences? I know you had a bit of a break there, you know, when we had COVID.
Yeah.
But what has been the reaction of audiences? Do you meet audiences afterwards? Do you chat to people? Do they engage with you?
Yes, we do have a questions and answers after the after some of the shows, and for instance, here in Hugh Lane on Friday, a girl asked us, like, how do we remember our script? She says, especially for the girl with the bike, because mine is the longest. And like when Kieran does an interview with you, ask you about your life story. He takes it all down and then he sandwiches it all into this piece of play. And when he handed my script all together, it was 28 pages.
Good Lord.
And I said, because I had a brain tumour, I said, Jesus, Kieran. I said, me and Joseph, I said, I won't be able to remember all that. He says, you will, you will. So the only way I could remember it is writing it down myself.
Okay.
So I started writing her into my brain to remember.
And that is the superb Bernie Kenny. And that performance of In the Dark happens this night week at the Dunamase Theatre in Portlaoise, featuring an enormous cast, including the man you're about to hear now. And that's Paul Norton. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103. We'll be back after the break with a little trip to Banagher. Stay with us.
I'm Paul. It's the 16th of November 1993. And I'm standing here in the National Art Gallery waiting to go live on air for the Gerry Ryan Show on 2FM nationwide for the unveiling of The Taking of Christ by Caravaggio. Brenda Donoghue is beside me and she's going through her notes. Good morning, Gerry. Yes, I'm standing in front of it now. 40 million quid, they reckon. Hard to believe. Well, let me say it's a huge painting, Gerry. It's about 16 foot by 11. It's dark all around the edges, but there's a lovely light shining on all the figures. You have Christ, and then you have a soldier reaching in as if to grab him, and the light's reflecting off his armour. The attention to detail is amazing. You can even see the dirt on the soldier's fingernails. Not really my style of country, Gerry, but I'll tell you, the atmosphere down here this morning is electric for the unveiling. Now, I'll pass you back to Brenda. I can't believe I got away with it. The truth is, in that light, I couldn't even see the painting. I didn't even know if I was looking at it. I've been losing my sight from an early age and was stupidly advised to train as a draftsman. But then, of course, I had to give that up. So I start ringing into radio stations and they'd ring me back and I became the voice of the common man. And the funniest thing is, Brendan Donoghue never noticed the thing. I'm just hoping that Gerry doesn't ask me another question about the painting. Yes, Gerry. Yeah. Right. Well, in fairness, it's the best painting I've ever seen.
Encore on Midlands 103. Your arts and entertainment for the Midlands. With the Dean Crow Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
And you're welcome back to Encore. We're staying with drama, moving now from Sightless Cinema in Portlaoise to Not Dressing for Dinner in Banagher. And Don't Dress for Dinner is the title of a farce. It's originally written in French by Mark Camoletti, who is just a hilarious writer. I remember a couple of years ago, quite a few years ago now, probably at this stage, seeing Prosperous Drama Group do a version of his play Boeing Boeing at the All-Ireland Drama Festival in Athlone, and it was just fantastic. And Don't Dress for Dinner is in the very same mould. I'm joined on the line now by Brendan Dolan from Banagher Drama Group to tell me all about it. Brendan, how are you getting on in your fabulous French farmhouse?
Well, we're getting on very, very well in it indeed. We have relocated it to Ireland just for the sake of a few things in the story. But yes, we're living very well in it, although a lot of people are arriving that shouldn't be arriving and we're told not to arrive and the usual confusion that follows from that. But yeah, more, you have to come in and see the show to find out what that's all about. So.
And a few people not leaving who should be leaving to make space for the people who are arriving.
Well, people who say they're leaving and don't leave. Yeah.
So it's, yeah. I suppose that the basic gist of the story, which becomes apparent very early on, is that, you know, we have Bernard and Jacqueline, or Bernard et Jacqueline,
yes,
who have been, I presume, Midlandsified. And
yes,
he is looking forward to his wife being gone for the weekend so that he can live it up with his mistress. But in true Mark Camoletti style, none of his plans are going to work out.
Absolutely not. Yes, far too good to be true. Couldn't work. Yes, I mean, he's already organised all sorts of things so it's our life is a bit more comfortable, including inviting his friend Bernard down to act as a kind of a shield from his wife to know anything is going on. And then there's a cook who isn't a cook, and a model who pretends to be a cook. And there's a whole lot. I don't want to give too much away.
No, you can't.
Because I know it hasn't, certainly hasn't been done in Banagher anyway. So I know a lot of people would be strange story. But yeah, there's loads of people turn up who turn out not to be who we think they are. And the first, I suppose, person that turns up is Suzette. And she starts the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Because my character gets the wrong end of the stick from talking to her. And that's where it comes from there.
And that's,
so that's where the humour starts, yeah. And it is very funny. At least some of the people we've had at rehearsals giving us a hand and stuff have been laughing away down in the back. So that's a good sign.
That is a great sign. Tell us about your character who gets the wrong end of the crepe, Suzette.
I play Robert, who is Bernard's friend, who's been invited to come for the weekend for kind of a bachelor weekend. Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's just been divorced and he's single in his 50s and a little bit innocent of the wider world out there compared to his friend. Although we soon discover that that's only a mask, if you will. That,
yes.
He's also up to no good behind his friend's back.
He is up to no good. He's a bit of a divil too, isn't he? Yeah. He's French men.
Well, yes, we've made them Irish men, but, you know, we're as capable as anybody of being up to no good.
Being up to no good. Tell me a little bit about the cast that you have there in Banagher. Plenty of faces and voices that locals will remember anyway.
Well, yes, there are. Yeah. There's six of us in the cast and we're delighted this year. We have some new people in. We have Fiona Lynch making her stage debut and she is playing the part of Suzanne in the show. And then we have Sean Dolan, who is appearing with us for the second time only. And then the rest of the cast are Jared Madden, Lorraine Hogan, Aisling Lucas and myself, who have been involved with the group in one way or another for a long time. In fact, Jared directed our last play, which was the Playboy the Western World. And that was in 2019, I think. We certainly haven't done anything since COVID.
Yeah.
So this is our first time back on the stage. So it's kind of why we went with the play we went with, because the feeling around was people might need a laugh, first of all. So and we went for that. And then we were very lucky to get Brendan Hannamy back.
To direct for you.
His third stint with us. Yeah. We've had great success with Brendan before. We work very well with him and he's very easy to work with. And he knows his job very well. So, yeah, it all leads to a very good production. Hopefully. It has before, anyway.
Yeah, so. For sure. Tell me, what's it like to be back on stage after a few years in the metaphorical wings?
Yeah, I have to say we were sort of looking forward to it, but I haven't been involved in the last two productions, so it's even longer for me, and I found it very difficult going back again.
Did you?
I was all excited going down, but then when it came to learning lines, I had lost the rhythm and the secrets of doing that, but we're back up and running again now. But it was certainly easier when you're doing one every year. It has been a long time away, yeah, no doubt about it. But it's a good way to pass the winter evenings, you know. It's great to be able to, even though we say at the time, oh, I have rehearsal in 10 minutes, it's still, it's a happy rehearsal room, you know, so it's a nice place to be.
Yeah. It seems to be a great year of all years. It's a bumper year for amateur drama, it seems to be, across the Midlands. It's like everybody has remembered how much they loved being on the stage and loved being out watching amateur drama. And we're coming down with it at the moment, which is great.
It's the kind of last thing back as far as we're concerned, you know, because we were trying to get back a bit earlier, but one thing and another didn't work out for us, so this was the first opportunity we had. But yeah, I see our friends out in Lusma are on. Carrick have just finished. Kildare are doing it. Rahan are coming the week after us. And I know Rat, I think, have already done two since COVID, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it's it. And I know I've left out a few now and they're listening going, oh, he never mentioned those. But
And of Encore at Midlands 103.com. They can drop me a line. Be delighted to hear from them.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama groups in the county now. It's very, very good. But there's a great audience for it, you see. You know, quite apart from the fun we get from doing it, there is a big audience out there for local drama. And and I mean, the word local, I always say that there's a hardcore of people who go to see every show, regardless of what drama group are putting it on. You know, we'll get them, and Borough will get them, and Kildare will get them, you know. So there's a great appetite out there to come and see a show. And I mean, it's a great night out for €10.
And when you talk about I just said there at the head of the show that Mark Camilletti's Boeing Boeing is one of the funniest plays I have ever seen. And this, you know, having read the gist of it, is very much in the same, in one door, out the other, farcical hilarity. Yeah. Say that again.
We don't have as many doors as he does there. And it's less, I suppose, farcical than that, in the sense of people walking in at the wrong time or walking in on top of, you know, there's a little bit less of that, and it's not quite as convoluted, but it is, hopefully it's funny. But I agree, Boeing Boeing is very funny.
And are you enjoying it now that you've gotten into your role? You're back in tune with your baldness in the character of Robert. Does it feel like coming home to the stage again?
It does. I've been at it a long time, to be fair, and I did miss it. I had to drop out for work reasons for a few years, and I missed it. And then it's one of the things when you're sitting around for the 3 years of COVID or whatever, that with all this time on your hands, that, you know, it's the perfect time for putting on a show. But of course, we couldn't, because, you know, and all the shows that had to be cancelled at last minute. So, yeah, you have a longing for the thing that you can't do, I suppose, too. That's another side of it. So, and we didn't want it to fizzle out. You know, there's always danger that if we left it too long without putting on a show, that people move on and people forget and it's hard to get it going. So we really wanted to get back as quick as we could, try and get more people involved as well, try and get some new people, you know.
Well, this interview is going to go out now on Thursday night, which is your opening night.
It is.
So for people who are sitting at home and thinking, will I get off the couch or will I bother getting out of the car? Would I go straight on to Banagher? Yes. Sell us the play. Why should we go?
Why should you go? Well, why not? You're going to sit down in a room with 100 plus people and not be aware that they're there and not be aware you're sitting in a hall. You're going to actually believe everything you see happening on the stage. You're going to suspend disbelief for about 2 hours, and it's only going to cost you €10. And we'll give you a free cup of tea or coffee at halftime. And you might even win the raffle, you know? And if you don't come Thursday, well, there's always Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And the booking line is 087-477-8492. I'm sure, like, where would you get it for a tenner? You know, you wouldn't get two drinks down the town for a tenner now, but you'd get 2 hours entertainment.
And I think that will just do the job very nicely. Brendan, thanks a million for talking to us. You have less than 5 minutes now to get down to... Oh, very, very happy to support a local amateur drama, but you've got 5 minutes now to get yourself to rehearsals. I really appreciate you taking the call.
Not at all. Thank you again.
And there he goes, off to rehearsals. And that was Brendan Dolan. And that play, which sounds like it's going to be really, really entertaining, is on in St. Rhina's Hall all this weekend, starting tonight at 8 o'clock, and all the details there. We're going to take another break. Stay with us here on Encore on Midlands 103.
Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowetheatre.com.
And you are very, very welcome back to Encore. We're almost at the end of the show, and just about time to head over to Birr, because, as we mentioned earlier on, the Adams family is coming to the stage there. It's kicking off next week. It is going to be a spectacular, and I'm joined on the line by Louise McAvoy. And Louise is playing the role of the wonderful Morticia. Tell me, Louise, what has it been like to be getting in touch with your inner Morticia?
Good question. I suppose Morticia is notoriously kind of dark and mysterious But at the back of it all, she's a very loving mother to Wednesday and Pugsley, and a most devoted wife to Gomez. So I think maybe I have some of the nice qualities Marticia has, even though she might be a bit dark and mysterious as well at the same time.
Tell us about the storyline of the Addams Family, the musical.
So yeah, the Addams Family, the musical, it's very loosely based on the TV programme and on the movie. There are nods to the movie with different lines and stuff in the script, but sure, we all know the Addams Family, they're upside down. You know, to be sad is to be happy, and to feel pain is to feel joy, and death and suffering are just the stuff of dreams for the Addams Family, you know. But the musical kind of touches on the reality of things. Their kids are growing up, and they're dealing with the same challenges every other family would deal with. So the story really in the musical is that Wednesday has fallen in love, and she wants to bring her new boyfriend Lucas Beinecke to meet her parents, and she wants him to bring his parents as well. So she's asking the Addams Family, can they promise to have one normal night to meet Lucas's parents and, you know, get their approval, and vice versa. And what ensues is absolute chaos. It's just, they decide to have a dinner, but mix in different potions, secrets being disclosed, relationships being tested, and it just allows for a night of non-stop chaos.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. It's very, very funny. And the whole musical is narrated by Uncle Fester.
Fantastic.
Who's played by Paddy Kelly. So he narrates the show throughout. So he keeps the audience involved, that you're never kind of going, oh, what's going on here now? Or, you know, everyone knows what's happening at any given time, you know.
I imagine a production like this just has so many layers and levels of complexity in the staging, in the musical, in all of that.
Oh, it's immense. I don't think people understand, unless you're actually involved in musical theatre or drama or anything like that, what exactly goes into staging a production. You know, of this, I mean, it's so professional. It's absolutely fabulous from, you know, your production team, Paul Norton, Enda O'Connor, Lisa Hogan, right down to everyone on the committee that knits everything together, getting your set, getting your music sorted, getting your lighting, your costumes, getting the visual of it looking good. It's enormous. It's absolutely enormous. And coordinating everyone, like, we're rehearsing since the end of November. 2-3 nights a week, and
there are shorter marriages.
Everyone. Oh, stop,
there are shorter marriages.
I know.
Well, you just mentioned the visuals there, and it strikes me with a show like this. I know the set is important in everything to create the world,
yeah.
But really important when the world is so different as it is in the Addams
yeah.
Family.
Yeah. Now the set arrived into the studio or into the theatre on Monday. And it's really class. It's Paul, our director, said that it's kind of modelled on the cartoon version.
Oh, fab.
Yes, it's lovely. It's actually quite, you'd imagine it to be very dark and gloomy, but it's quite bright. And then there's different aspects of it that give the nod to the darkness
yeah.
of the Addams Family, you know. But it's excellent. It's so, so good. Like I said, non-stop chaos. Valine, that's playing Wednesday, said it'll make you laugh for all the wrong reasons and make you cry for all the right reasons, you know.
I hope you're going to put that on the promos.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me about that process then from November. I mean, that's an enormous commitment from people. I did say, you know, there are shorter marriages, but it is an
yes.
extraordinary commitment, because everything else really goes by the wayside, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And I noticed this with this particular production as well. The chorus are our ancestors. We wake them from the dead at the start of the show. The Addams Family ancestors, and they are involved with Fester in narrating the show. all singing, all dancing ancestors. And this show, the chorus and the principals actually knit together an awful lot. Normally, with principals, you do an awful lot of rehearsing on your own, and then you join the chorus, you know, whereas we've done all our singing rehearsals together, all our dancing rehearsals together, and then we've had script rehearsals separately on a third night.
Yeah.
But it's been lovely to be all together. And that's since the end of November, we're all rehearsing together, you know.
Why do you do it? What's the kick for you in giving up that time? Obviously, you know, having the makeup is obviously a big attraction. Everybody wants to look more like Morticia on a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
But
people say to me, are you getting paid for this? And I'm like, no. And it's just the pure and utter love of it, because everyone that's there wants to be there. You know what I mean? It's a little release. It's a little kind of, you come home from work and you're wrecked and you think, oh God, I have to go out again. But when you get to rehearsals and everyone's there and smiling and hi and chatting, and it's just, it's so nice to be involved in something like that and to go out on stage and look out into a packed auditorium and everyone is smiling back at you and everyone is there to be entertained for a night. And, you know, I think it goes a long way just to go and enjoy something like that, that you're not, there's so much sadness in the world at the moment, you know, and it's just that little release, and it's a lovely thing to be part of, you know.
I also think there's a kind of magic, and it's a long time since I've been involved in anything like this, but there is a kind of magic when all of those bits and pieces that you talk about there, the set arriving on Monday, the three different kind of nights of rehearsals and all that starts to come together. And now that you're in the theatre rehearsing there and the stage is there and it all starts to come, there is something magical. And then when you have people like Enda O'Connor and Nippy Norton involved in that, it's alchemical, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's fabulous. So it is. And to see, you know, when you're rehearsing, you don't have props for the most part. You don't have scenery. You don't have anything like that. So you have to just pretend, you know, you have to kind of improvise as much as possible. But then when you get into the theatre and it all starts coming together and people go, oh, God, yeah, I didn't think that would be like that. Or, oh, I never thought, that was the way that was going to work, or, you know, that kind of way. And it all starts to knit together. It's just fabulous. It's fabulous.
A final word on costumes. Is yours a spray-on effect, or how is that working for you?
Well, I'll give you one little hint as to my costume. Gomez, at the start of the show, says that I have a dress cut down to Venezuela. So that will tell you the aesthetic that we're going with on the front of my dress, anyway.
So it's a great show.
It is fabulous. Tickets are available from Burr Theatre, www.burrtheatre.com. It's running next Tuesday to Saturday, the 12th to the 16th. We have two shows on the Saturday. We actually have a matinee at 2:30 as well as the 8 p.m. show. And the tickets are flying out the door. They really, really are. So if anyone is even half thinking of going, I would definitely get online and book your tickets. It's going to be fabulous. It really, really is.
And there you go. You get all the details about the Adams Family from Burr Stage Guild, performed at Burr Theatre next week. All the details on the Burr Theatre website. That is it, just about, from me. I do believe the great Joe Cooney is in the building for Country Roads. I'll be here tomorrow night, unusually, because I'm sitting in for International Women's Day for David Hollywood on the Health and Fitness Show. And I'm really looking forward to bringing to you what I think is going to be a great programme. We are looking at what can we do as women to future-proof our bodies in our 30s, our 40s, our 50s and our 60s, so that we can be living healthy, fit and happy lives in every decade of our lives. So I'm looking forward to bringing that to you tomorrow night. I also want to say to you, Mount Medic Drama Group are bringing two nights of one-act plays on Thursday and next Friday at the Community Arts Centre in Mount Medic. And finally, today is World Book Day. Turn off the radio. Get yourself a book. Have a lovely evening. Take care of yourself. Good night.
Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.